First of all, I want to say thank you to all of you for your kind words, for welcoming me, for coming back. That's a miracle. And I want to thank you for your trust. Most of you did not know who I was. You may not even know who I am now. But I'm thankful for your pastor, for your elders. Thank you for Howard, Mel, who I first met. And I thank you for the entire RTO ministry here. And I pray that you will spread the word that this is the church that anybody can be loved, including those behind bars. So tonight we're going to go for the grand finale. Amen. Let me say something about this ministry that we just heard. Hurt people, hurt people. It is so critical, so urgent that we will be healed. So I'm trusting that the message that I'm going to give you tonight will drive that truth home. Before I give you the message, last night I mentioned to you that God, Yahweh, fired Moses. And I even gave you the text where he got fired. But I failed to tell you why he was fired. So I have an obligation tonight to tell you why he was fired. He was fired because he didn't hallow the name of the Father. But let me tell you how he did not do that. If you remember in Numbers 20, verse 11, God commands Moses to speak to the rock because these knuckleheads, they were asking him for more water. And Moses did not heed to that. He did not obey that. But what did he do? He was angry. He needed to be healed from his anger. And what did he do? He healed the rock twice. And he became God for a moment. God still provided the water because he gave the promise, you see. But he punished the leader. Nobody is indispensable in ministry. God will take you out like that. And he always have a replacement in the bushes waiting to. So don't ever think that you're the best at anything, because you're not. I am not. So I just wanted to make that point tonight. It is also important that you read, you know, if you got the book, chapter 10, about my daughter, Sasha, who not just, but about 2 years ago, she became a believer. And read about how we met in my first book. But tonight I want to talk about God our Father. His name is Yahweh, the one that delivers. Compelling love heals. Let me tell you the real formula. God our Father's love is equal to the cross and to Christ. I want to remind us about what is our mission that I mentioned to you on Sunday morning. I want to remind you again about our mission, what we're supposed to be doing. Could we put that up, please? Thank you. Our mission as Christians is to introduce all people to our good Father as credible witnesses. Next, please. They messed up?
Only got the one slide.
Okay, that's okay. So our mission is to introduce all people to God the Father as credible witnesses. That means we have to be healed. So when they meet our Father will deliver you from your sins, deliver you from the world, deliver you from yourself, and heal you. And at the same time, you're going to be able to find your identity in Christ. And when you do that, then you are filled with God's glory. And when you are filled with God's glory, you don't need anything else. Then the healing happens. And we're going to see that tonight on the text. I'm going to try to move quickly, because I will do you a disservice if you only listen to me and I don't listen to you. So I want to do my best to move quickly tonight so you can ask me questions, because I know I have given you a lot of stuff in the last 3 days or 2 days. So here we are. This is our text for tonight. Exodus 15, 22 through 27. I'm only going to give you these few verses tonight. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. It was not healed. It was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord. He prayed. You see how quickly he prayed? He went to God. He prayed to him radically. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and an instruction for them and put them to the test. There's always a test. Next test. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of what? The diseases. I, who is I there? God, Yahweh, I brought on the Egyptians. And look at this astonishing promise. For I am the Lord who what? Thank you. Then they came to Elam, where there were 12 springs. You see the abundance of God there? 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. First of all, in this few verses, what do you see? You see the tension between God is absolutely sovereign. He is in total control, but yet we are 100% responsible. What do you see a servant leader, Moses? Stupid question. Who was Moses? Hello? Who was Moses? Okay. What else was he? Huh? Who? And what? Yes, he was. What else? He was also a priest. He was also an ex-killer. He was an ex-criminal. He spent 40 years in prison. He killed a man. God called him when he was 80 years old. It's never too late, my friend. Who else was he?
God's servant.
He was called by God. And God used him to do what? The biggest miracle before this one. What? The chapter before. What did he do? God used him to what? To have almost 2.5 million knuckleheads who were all lifers. They're all locked up in prison. For how many years? 430 years, right? They were locked up. God used Moses to produce the biggest prison escape ever in the history of prisons. Usually when somebody escapes from prison, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 guys, somebody gets hurt. In this particular case, nobody got hurt. Everybody made it out of prison. Children, women, other people, men, animals, everybody got out. without a hitch. Why? Because God used a man like Moses to pray persistently. He went after the Pharaoh and he did not give up. I have not heard yet from any one of you, who is Moses? He was a type of Christ. He was a type of Savior. If you are a Christian, you are a type of Christ. You are a type of Savior. We call that typology in theology. The moment that you get saved from the justifiable wrath of God, from the guilt of sin, from the slavery of sin, from an eternal hell, you have the responsibility of becoming a Moses. That is your job, that's my job, that's my mission. Moses was representing Christ. But he was hallowing the name of the Father. And when he failed to do that, he got fired. Didn't matter about how much he did before. So the people see, they saw with their own eyes. And if you read the first 21 verses of this chapter 15, you're going to see how the people are praising God. They are praising Moses. They are happy. They are dancing and cha-cha-cha all over the place. They are playing the tambourine. They are playing music. They are worshiping God until the next test. They just saw God deliver them from Egypt. They just saw God do what they could not do for themselves. And they forgot that God can do it again. That happens to us. God saves you. God does a miracle. Do you know that if you are a Christian today, you are a miracle? Do you know that if you are a Christian, you are a miracle? You have experience the miracle of redemption. You were dead, and now that's a miracle, my friend. And God, the same grace that saved you, are going to sustain you to new levels of joy. Same grace saves and sustains. Saves and sustains. Now, let me make another point here. Somebody used the word legalism. Was that you? Somebody did on the presentation. Yeah, God has given you a bunch of commandments. He gave us 10 commandments. And then we have the Talmud on top of that. 612 plus of them. And then we have added another thousands in the church. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Policy, I mean, we have a book of that, of policy for our ministry. So yeah, God will give you commandments. But you know the beautiful thing about God is that he's not going to give you a commandment without giving you a promise. It's right here in this text. And then with that promise comes lots of infinite benefits and blessings. And I told you on Sunday morning, just to remind you, that when you are a child of God, that means Christ is also a child of God. That means that God the Father wants to give you the same benefits and the same blessings that he gave Christ. That's crazy, but that is truth. So the people forgot what God just did. Don't forget. If I had to ask you a question, could you with one word, see, we need to be able to communicate. With one word, can you describe the Bible for me? What would that word be? If you need to tell somebody in one word what the Word of God is, one word, what would that word be? Yeah, but you say love. People don't know what love is. truth, nowadays, truth is subjective. I mean, so let me just give it to you. Tell me, is the word remember? Is the word remember? God is asking you to remember His grace. That's why we do communion. That's why we do baptism. That's why it is not a sacrament, but you know what? From time to time, we have to go and wash some feet. You wash feet? We have to wash feet. Listen, if it's good enough for my Jesus, it's good enough for me too. If my Jesus washed some feet, who am I not to? Who am I not to? Three days ago, they saw God at work, and just a few minutes before, they were dancing and praising God. But now they kept moving, right? And they got thirsty. And they got desperate. Let me give you some advice. Never make a decision when you're desperate. Never make an emotional decision because you are not going to love. Remember that theme here? The compelling love of Christ. Remember your duty and my duty is to love God and our neighbor. It is not our duty to hurt our neighbor. It is not our duty to hurt God's reputation. Christ came to defend the Father's reputation. That's why He came. So 3 days go by, and they forgot what just happened. And what happened? They complained to Moses. Let me give you another little teaching here. People that complained the most, they pray the least. We have way too many whiners in the church. Too many wimps, actually. Don't complain. People that complain is because they are hurt. They are hurting. It is true that we have too many hurting people. Listen, have you noticed as of late that most people are angry, anxious, and fearful? Have you seen that? Have you noticed that? Let me give you another little point here. Society as a whole reflects the true health condition of the church in America. Whose responsibility is it for people to be healthy? Ours. We are responsible for the health of society. It is not Mr. Trump, nor Mr. Mike Pence, who is a Christian, for sure. He's been helping us with planting Bible colleges in Indiana, in prisons. The condition of the people out there is our responsibility. We have to show them that we are not angry, that we have no right to be angry. We have to show them that we have no reason to be fearful, nor that we are anxious. Because Christ came to give us peace, and therefore, no more anxiety. He came to give us joy, no more anger. He came to give us love, no more fear. Am I making myself clear? So 3 days go by, they complain to Moses. What did Moses do? Did he fight back? He could have. Because how many people keep coming back at you? You're going to react, right? What did he do? Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So what is our ministry? What is our labor? It's prayer. Praying radically to love radically. That is our ministry. I tell people we are no longer a prison ministry. We are a praying ministry. Nothing happens without prayer. Nothing of significance happens without prayer. Nothing with eternal happens without prayer. You can have a lot of activities. You could be busy doing nothing. That was me before 7 years ago. That was me. I was busy doing nothing. So Moses prayed because the people found water and the water was what? Bitter. Let me ask you a question. How is your water? How is your water? Are people thirsty? Are people in need of a cup of cold, refreshing water? Do you know anybody that needs a cup of water? Do you have the right water to give to people? A little question before you. That's also a question for me, of course. So Moses prays, so he doesn't complain back, he doesn't fight back, he prays, and God responds immediately, because you see, a stake is his glory. A stake is always, how are we going to hallow the name of the Father? And by the way, let me make this little point here, which I did not make yesterday. The greatest name of God is Father. The only religion, I hate to use that word, but just so you understand me. The only religion, the only faith that has the privilege and the honor of calling our God Father is us Christians. Father does not appear in the Quran. Why is it that we are afraid of calling God the Father? Father. I hear so many Christians not doing that. Yeah, I know what you mean, but let's be clear who we're praying to. Let's be clear who we want to hallow. If Jesus was clear, why are we not clear? Well, his Lord, well, you know what? Lord could be Yahweh, capital L, capital O, capital R, but Lord could also be Kyrios in the Greek, so I don't know who you're talking to. Who are you talking to? And in what authority are you talking to? Because you need to pray in the authority of Christ and in the power of the Spirit, like I showed you yesterday. So I just want to make that point. Because, I mean, we need to be effective Christians. And we need to follow the word of God. We need to obey it the way it is. Not adding to it or twisting it or making this or making that because of my opinion. No, we need just to take the word and obey the word the way it is. So Moses prays. And what does God tell Moses to do? It makes no sense to the human mind. But you see, it does not have to make sense. Because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, the Bible says. What did he show him? A piece of what? Of wood. Now, who is Moses here again? Who is he again? Who? Oh, thank you. And what did I show you on my slide with the title? That love is equal to what? Thank you. In other words, 1 Corinthians 1:18 says that the cross is the power of what? And it's what foolish to those that do not believe. It is so interesting that these people need to be healed. All of them, they need to be healed. We have 2.5 million, maybe, I don't know how many, we're 3 million, 2, I don't care, you know, many people that were all hurting. They were all messed up. They were having superficial church because of a quick gratification that they had, a quick fix that they had. Christ did not come to give you a quick fix. He came to give you a permanent fix, my friend. A permanent healing, my friend. That's my Jesus. That's my God that I believe in. Now, Moses complained to God and said, hey, God, wait a minute. These people are about to kill me. They want water, and they mean water. They going after me. I'm praying to you, and you're showing me a piece of tree. They cannot drink a piece of tree. Did he do that? Did he do that? What did he do? He obeyed without delay. He took the piece of tree and threw it where? A stupid question. Oh, let me make this point here first. What do you need to believe in Christ? What do you need to believe in Christ? Faith. Thank you. What kind of a faith? Weak faith? Wavering faith? Changing faith? Saving faith? You also need abundant faith. You need to trust. Practice makes permanent. Not perfect. The more you pray, the more you receive, the more confidence you have, and the more you're going to pray. And the more you're going to trust. Right? Now hear me out. Now I'm going to give you some logic here. The faith that we claim to have in Christ does not go against logic, reason, nor reality. Our faith makes sense. Our faith is real. Because we have seen it. We have experienced it. Our faith is strong. Because why? Because we believed in a living Christ. Amen. So he takes the piece of tree, throws it in the water. And what happened to the water? It became what? Sweet. Question for you. How much of the water was bitter, needed in need of healing, before Moses prayed and God told him to get the piece of tree and put it in the water? How much of the water was bitter? Well, it was 100% correct. Not the stupid question now. How much of the water became sweet when Moses picked up the tree and threw it in the water without arguing with God? How much of the water became sweet? 100%. What is the common denominator here? Huh? The cross. The piece of wood is representing the cross. How are you going to get healed? Because he's about to make you a promise. He's about to make you a promise, and he's going to show you a holiday on the beach. C.S. Lewis says, that we are too easily pleased. He said that, why are you building mud pies in the slum when God has promised you a holiday at the beach? Are you listening to me? And look what he says. Look at the amazing promise that he makes. I told you there's a tension between the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. I told you earlier that God will give you a commandment. It will be followed by a promise. And it will give you a benefit. But there's a condition that you must trust. If you married, if you're a man, and your wife does not trust you, you're in trouble. You are in trouble because there's nothing that you can do. Correct? Here it is. This is the commandment. Verse 26. If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, that's called courage. If you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not, we need to celebrate that. I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. Who saved the Hebrew children in Egypt? Who did that? God did. Did the children of Egypt, did they live or did they die? They died. They died. Every child in Egypt that was an Egyptian, they all die. Every child that was a Hebrew, they all live. Why? Because of Passover. Passover. Death passed over. It is God who will bring you the trials. He will bring you the test. And you know when we get hurt? It's when we disobey. So we have a bunch of disobedient people in the church. And we want God to heal you without you. Obeying ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. With all due respect, we can do 20,000 programs. Programs. Ain't going to happen. Unless you get with God's program. It's right here. This is God's program right here. In other words, God wants to give you his precise permanent prescription. It is the cross and Christ together. You cannot have entitlement and you cannot have legalism. You need to have the cross and Christ together. Here it is. I will not bring you on any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And look at verse 27. Then they came to Elam. You want water? You want water? You want rest? You want to be blessed? Here it is. You want water? How much water do you want? God has unlimited resources. Who gives you what you need? God. Who gives you what you want as a Christian? God. Not you. It's not your abilities. They came. They all came to Elam, where there were 12 springs. Could you imagine that? Okay. I mean, there was water everywhere. And then 70 palm trees. They could rest. And they camped there near the water. You want to get healed? Get with the program. Obey without delay. I told you on Sunday morning, when you hesitate in your obedience, you will always forfeit the blessing. It is then and only then, beloved, that you can love with the compelling love of Christ, which is the same love that God the Father loved Jesus and loved us through Jesus, and that love will heal any sinner, not only emotionally, but also physically. Listen, I came from Cuba as a refugee. Like you said, I was traumatized. I came to this country without my parents. My parents lost everything. I went to prison. I went through a divorce. I didn't see my kids for 5.5 years. I was a sexual addict. I lost everything. I gained everything. I lost everything, and I gained Christ. Let me tell you this. I'm healed. I can tell you this tonight. I only have a desire for my wife, Barbara. That's it. I'm giving you a testimony. I protect myself. I never go out with a woman by myself. I never go out to eat. I never meet with a woman in my office by myself. I am super protective. I am super alerted. I have people that speak into my life. I have a fence of love around me as well, because I want to stay healed. It's very easy to fall again. Very easy. Extremely easy. So it takes your responsibility. It takes all of you and all of God. You must become as responsible as God is sovereign. That's a profound statement that God gave me some time ago. So let me stop right here. I have about 10 minutes or so. I'd like to take any questions from you. Any questions from the last four teachings or four sermons? Anything? And let me tell you, if you have something that it sounds critical, I can take it too. God has given me a rough skin. He has. Because, you know, I preach about 250 times a year, so you can imagine. You know, I'm always out there, so. And I'm human. I don't use notes. I prepare myself, but I don't use notes. Sometimes I use notes, but very, very rarely. Any questions? I cannot believe there's no questions. Yes! You have a microphone.
I can talk
louder. Okay.
1 Corinthians 10:13 speaks of God providing a way of escape.
Yes, he does.
And you have now been in the practice when temptation comes of going to Christ. Can you be specific?
Yeah. Well, for example, I'm not stupid. There are many wonderful women and beautiful women out there. But if there's a beautiful woman that she's attracted, what do I do? I look once, but don't look again.
Where does your mind go? Where does your mind go with thoughts of Christ?
I am so trained now by the Holy Spirit and by the amazing chance that God gave me on that cabin 7 years ago, that believe me, I just cannot bring him any shame. And that means I'm not a legalist by all means. I just have become a radical partaker of the radical grace of God. So I go for more grace, for more abundant grace. And he just gives me the ability to look the other way and gives me a love then for that woman who might be my sister. I mean, on my way from Chicago to Las Vegas, 4-hour plane ride, there was a lady next to me. I said, oh, Lord. But I was able to witness to her. And she was lost. I said, why don't you come? Why don't you come to the church tomorrow morning? She said, no, that's too early for me. I said, I am preaching tomorrow morning at 8:45. You know, she's going to Las Vegas, you know. And you know, she's going gambling or whatever, you know. But God gave me an amazing message for her. And she had 6 boyfriends. And 4 of them died. I mean, a very messy story that she had, you know. But I was able to give her my book and my track. I was able to witness to her and pray for her, you know. But I was just talking to her, but I was forced to be next to her because it was a full flight. I was next to her, but my mind was clean.
So what I'm hearing is you're going
Oh, yes.
Be reminding yourself.
Listen, I have to preach the gospel to myself a few times a day. I cannot be here today if I didn't believe the gospel. If I don't believe that God is in the business. I told you last night, right, that God wants to surprise you, right? Well, last night, God gave me in the hallway two big surprises. A man came who is the brother of my guide in Panama, and he came to meet me here. And I kid you not, he came with a bag this full of gifts for me. Panamanian coffee, Panamanian chocolate, honey, boots by Jazz. Man, what is this? I cannot take it. Don't worry about it. I'm going to send it home to you, FedEx. I said, okay, good, thank you. I never met this guy. And then Dr. Jennifer, he says to me, I'm a pain specialist. I think I can help your wife with her pain in her hand. So I said, call her. So I said, So did you call her yet? You did? Did you talk to my wife?
No.
Okay, I left a voicemail. Thank you. Okay. So, I mean, God surprised me. God wants to surprise you. So I don't want to hinder that. I don't want my sin to do that. You know, John Piper says this, that sin is the suicidal abandonment of joy. I do not want to lose my joy, because my joy is my trademark. Thank you for that question. Any other questions? Any other question? Yes. Oh, yes.
So,
yes.
How?
When you understand God's love, when you experience God's love, because as a Christian, we have no reason to be angry. Only God can be angry. You see, I tell people this, that God is bilingual. God speaks love and wrath. And when we preach the word of God, he hides his wrath behind his back, and he's going to give you his love, which is compelling. And the word wrath appears in the Bible over 600 times. John, the third chapter, verse 36 says that we have to proclaim the gospel so the wrath of God will be lifted from people. You see? But we as Christians, we have to be grateful. And we cannot pray to a God that we are not grateful to. And to be, and if you're not with each other, many of us have a beef with God because we think or we believe that he's not giving us what we deserve. And many of us are changing doors too quickly. We are changing doors too quickly. We are not knocking on that one door, because John the 8th chapter says that if God the Father is not your father, then the devil is your father. And the devil will give you whatever you want for the exchange of your soul. And unfortunately, many Christians are purchasing a one-way ticket back to Egypt. And they have to borrow the money from the devil at 100% interest. When Christ gave you a one ticket out of Egypt. Egypt meaning what? The world. Sin, slavery, discontentment. Remember who we are. We are a credible witness to this world and to each other. You need to be the same person at home as you are here. I would not be here either, beloved, if my wife did not approve me to be here. You can call her. You can call my wife and ask her, is this guy for real or not? Ask my wife anytime. I'll give you her phone number. One last question. Yes, sir.
If you pray for deliverance.
Yes, sir.
From, say, a physical disability.
Yes, sir.
How persistent should you be? How many times?
That's a good question. Let me say this, guys. God does not have to answer any of our prayers. In other words, he's not obligated. So it's not a magic formula that I can tell you, you need to pray 10 times or 40 times. You know WD-40? You know WD-40? You know WD-40 that you use? Yeah. WD-40, right? Yeah. WD-40. You know, the thing that you use. Exactly. You know what the 40 is there for? Huh? You got that right. 39. The 40th, he got it. Exactly. So now, the key is this. As I said to you yesterday, it's about hallowing the name of the Father. Now, these bodies get old. These bodies get worn out, you know. So there's something that just go with age. So we have to discern what is that we are praying for and for what motivation. What is motivating us to ask God for that? So that has to be between you and God. Now, people pray for cancer, to be healed from cancer, and God says, no, I'm going to take you home. I've seen people heal from cancer. My daughter is in chapter 10. She got saved. I prayed persistently for her. She got saved. You see what I'm saying? So, sometimes it takes 30 years. I know a man that he's now part of our meetings, you know, once a week, and he comes to us once a week. It took him 30 years for him to become a Christian. You know what I'm saying? So it might take 2 years, it might take three, it might take five, it might take 10. I don't know. I'm not God, but I know one thing, that God wants us to persist with the motivation that what we want him to give us and to grant us, we are going to make sure that we're going to hallow his name with it. Am I making sense to you?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to hear him say, enough.
He might tell you that.
Yeah.
That's why it is critical that we have a relationship with Jesus, for example. Gethsemane. Jesus prayed three times. And God said, no. You're going to go to the cross. You're going to take the cup of wrath. Paul prayed for whatever he was suffering from. It might be an eye. I don't know. And God said, no. And then he says, my grace is what? Thank you. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Correct. So there's no magic. But I can tell you this, that we have to pray that God will give us a heart disposition, a heart affinity with our Father that is given to Jesus, that we want, we desire to hallow his name in everything we pray, in everything we do, in music, in preaching, in walking, in talking to people. I ask God, I say, Father, I could be a little pushy, but I say, Father, help me. Help me every day to season every word with Jesus, to package every word with love, and to deliver every word with grace. See what I'm saying?
Well, I ain't going to quit asking.
Of course not. Don't do it. Keep at it. Because you see, your greatest reason is you want to become a credible witness for him. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the God that heals. Any burning question? If not, I'm going to pray. And then whoever follows me can come after me. Thank you again. I'm going to be out there. My books are out there.